Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
I am so excited to present you guys with two of my role models slash mentors. And I look to these guys up every day and look up to their clinical skills and also their personality. And
you want to go? You want to go? Leadership. You want to go touch them right now?
No. I love these guys. They both actually. It's funny because we have them both on the show right now. I don't want to say anything else other than Justin Moody and Mike Freemuth.
Man, that's an honor and a privilege, Payman, especially after the night we had in Arizona.
Did y'all have a couple cocktails and like get real deep with each other? Because I feel like that's when I walked in a second ago.
So we're going to get this. We're going to make this water under the bridge. Payman, you know, all you guys following Payman, you know, you see what he's doing, you do out there. He's an excellent
clinician. He's running and gunning, baby.
Especially for the amount of years he's been in practice. Continuing amount of education he's putting forth out there. And like, this guy is a go-getter. Like, he's getting after it. So we're at dinner one night. Maybe had a few libations. It got a little late in the night. And the conversation got heated. That conversation led to some maybe apologies afterwards and all that. And his education really progressed since that night.
What was the core of what you said, just out of curiosity?
The core of what we're talking about is you know, Payman, how long have you been out of school?
I was out of school at that time, I think 2 years.
2 years. Mm. So 2 years out of school, yep. Placing a lot of implants.
Right.
He does a lot of implants. The thing with implants is some of the failures you won't see till 5, 7, 10 years down the road. So the conversation that night started, hey, let's look at some complications that may arise downstream. That's where it kind of started and all that stuff and progressed. And, you know, this, that, and the other. He's an excellent clinician. And,
mentioned is what I'm going to say as far as what we were just sitting over there and talking about me getting out and doing these CEs, yet thinking that I'm doing it right without actually having the mentorship and knowing some of these folks around me. So what actually made me aware more from that night, and not just that night, but also over the course of what I have been ever since then, is understanding my limitations, understanding some of the things I need to learn more and more before I approach to do some of the things. Because, and he's so right, like when I was out of school and I was doing this, and I'm still out, like I don't have 10 years follow-up, I don't have 20 years follow-up, he does, or some of the big name, I mean some of these people, they do. And without looking at their courses and their teaching, is I never be able to do what I do, the experience. So all these digital stuff, all this printing, and none of that is really, any of that doesn't matter when you don't have that years of experience.
Listen,
what I'm trying to say.
Listen, I was a third party to this. You know, I was
you
there.
You were Facebooking this live because I heard about this thing from my wife. My wife says, Mike, have you checked it on Facebook? It's like, I never look at Facebook.
So I was Facebooking these two's conversation. But what happened at the end of it is a testament to Payman. And that is
absolutely.
That is that everyone had a discussion, whether it got heated or not. Sure. But at the end of the day, Payman could have said, you know, hey, I'm doing just fine the way I am.
Screw you.
But what he said was, you know, then tell me, you know, Mike, where do I get better at? And Mike said, well, one of the things that you should consider is going to the COIS Center. And I will tell you that there's not a lot of people that will take that kind of, you know, criticism or suggestion.
Yeah. It was and a not flat only, out beat then, down. It wasn't criticism. No,
but at the end of the day,
he got the backhand
you know, at the end of the day, a couple months later, and what's Payman doing?
Of course,
checking in at COIS Center, and you know, so hats off to you for taking it the right way, and it really wasn't. We all don't know what we don't know.
No, right. You're exactly right. Exactly.
You know, and I talked this morning about we're all just a culmination of everyone that we learn from. Yes. And the more people you put in that hopper,
the better
your experience
100%.
Is.
Yes.
And that's all it was. So
and what I loved about that, that's why I kind of like I wanted to kind of prod into this a little bit more and kind of hear, because I think it's so awesome, because the reality is a lot of people look up to you, dude. and like, you know, they see what you're doing and they're like, oh my gosh, how is this guy? So it is so impactful when you can say, gosh, man, I got to check up.
Yes.
And realize that like, man, this is good, but I got to keep getting better. Because when you've already done the amount of education and effort and the things you've done, when you can, even after doing all that, can continue to sit back and say, gosh, I still got to go keep learning.
Right.
Man, how empowering that is to everybody else. So that was why I wanted to hear it. Cause I think that's so freaking awesome that, y'all had that conversation and it led to that.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, the downside of that is here, Justin and I are, you know, 20 years plus in private practice, and we're still seeking out all of these people. I mean, we can never know everything, and you know, none of us are smarter than all of us, and we keep seeking our knowledge. I mean, you know, every time we teach a course, every time we have a live surgery training, I mean, we have a collective experience of all of these doctors that we get to see, and you know, it's unbelievable, all the pearls and stuff that you learn every day, day in, day out. That's why they call it the practice of dentistry. It just keeps changing every day. We are still being taught something new that, you know, it's really amazing. And that's just that night. That's where that conversation was going with that. And like,
and it was so eye opening and for me, and I like to tell that to a lot of people. I know you think I got my feelings hurt or whatever, but Not really, but to me, it was more eye-opening for me because at the end of the day, I love to look back and see like what I gained from it. And it was amount of so much education, so much knowledge. And what I tell to my folks, what are you guys doing with Implant Pathway? What is your objective? What is the goal? And what are you guys doing there?
You know, I think our objective is to inspire someone that may want to, you know, do what we do, or inspire them to be better and enjoy their job and such. And, you know, ours was implants, you know, one of the things that, you know, obviously it's one of my passions, and it makes me get up in the morning and want to go to work. We just talked to Bruce Baird about, you know, the difference between Friday people and Monday people. You know, we all like the weekends and such, but, you know, if you and your team really enjoy Monday, like you're ready to go back to work and you're ready to see your team again. Like that's a different environment 100%. Than it is, you know, if you just live for the weekends and you hate the Mondays. Like truthfully, if I saw some of my team members posting on social media, you know, like, oh, it's flipping Monday or whatever. Like it wouldn't go well with me.
Yeah.
You know, that like I would feel that I'd kind of
let them down.
I did because I did not inspire my team to want to do what we want to do, because one of the things that we forget about our teams is that we spend way more time with our teams than their spouses do with them. You know, you think about it, you know, what do you see your spouse for? You know, an hour in the morning, then you go to work you go to work for 10 hours.
Yeah. I work with my spouse, so I see her quite a bit.
I know.
I get a lot of my spouse.
But you know, you think about that, then your assistants and everywhere, they go home, and what do they see him for? Maybe 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you spent 10 hours. And the difference is that you could be in the same house with your spouse and not see them, you know. But what do we do with our assistants and our team members? We live in their bubble. You know, we live 12, 16 inches apart, you know, over the top of a patient, and we talk and we collaborate and
we have successes and we have failures.
Yeah. And we do those things, and we end up knowing them more than we do you know, our own spouses.
Sure.
So when you inspire them, you know, and you inspire a dentist to see that, then there's a dynamic change within the offices. And, you know, I tell people that there's two levels of buy-in when you bring implant dentistry into your private practice. And one is when your team fully understands that implant dentistry is a true tooth replacement solution. Like if they were missing a tooth, they would want to have a dental implant. And that changes the dynamic, because now they talk about implant dentistry. They don't talk about dentures, partials, and bridges.
Yeah.
But the real buy-in is when they believe in implants and they believe in you. So when they go outside the office and say, hey, you need a dental implant, you should come see my dentist, because she is the only one that I would have put in there. And are you following? Like there's two buy-ins. Like there's buy-in on implants, but there's a buy-in on you. And when the buy-in happens on you, that spreads like wildfire. It goes to your churches. It goes to your you know, your kids and sporting events and
it's like organic.
PTA.
Yeah, organic. Yes,
all these. It's all the raving fans thing.
It is. It's
great
it's
book
a
by Blanchard. Great book. I talk about that book extensively.
And when you have that happen, when you see your team members on social media and someone talking about an implant, they say, you should come to our office. Like, there's your.
Because it's not that they like you or they're not going to talk good about you, it's that they're going out of their way to promote you.
To promote you. And now, for folks that don't know.
The original question, though, when we started this is like, what started you down the implant pathway? So, I mean, that was Justin's journey.
I want to hear yours, Mike, because I have no idea.
I started out really as a cosmetic guy. Like, I started out like, this is what I really evolved to. This is what I'm going to do. And as you evolve into a cosmetic dentistry, you start to see, you know, all the limitations with cosmetic dentistry. Then you need to go into occlusal type dentistry because the cosmetic dentistry is failing. As you evolve into occlusal dentistry with the cosmetic dentistry, now you have a bunch of missing teeth in there and like your bridges are going to fail. I don't care what occlusal scheme, all of that stuff. And then you have pontic span limitations. So this was a natural evolution for me to get into full mouth rehabilitation. Sure. So I had some downfalls, some shortfalls in there. And I had a cousin who is my mentor in life, Justin's mentor from, you know, Crawford, Nebraska. Crawford, Nebraska has a population. It's probably, 900 people today? My parents are from Crawford, Nebraska. Our mentor in life is from Crawford, Nebraska. My partner and best friend in life is from Crawford, Nebraska. It's unreal what's come out of that small community of 900 people. It's train town. So any given time of the year, there might be 400 people in that town. There's one restaurant sometimes. It's not always open. So it's not like you have all of these services, things you can do. And yet my buddy is doing over 1,000 implants a year in this town that has no people. How does that happen? Right? I'm diverging a little bit.
No, but I love this. Kill, go.
But this, like he and I go back a long ways. Our families go back a long ways. They've known each other like almost, you know, gosh, it's generations now. Right. And it's really a neat, unique story. And it's really fun to talk about our story. He and I have a great mutual respect, love, and understanding. Like, it's just a neat kind of deal. Anyway. So I got through all of the occlusal training, all of this stuff, and my cousin, his mentor, my mentor said, you're going to start placing implants. It came down to you got to pick a place to go. That time, 2002, 2003, somewhere in that time frame, there was one of two places. You go to Mish or you go to Loma Linda out in California. Right. So, I don't want to go to Detroit. I mean, I'm from Colorado. I want to go to a nice warm place. I want to enjoy the sun. I want to do some fun things. And Loma Linda sounds pretty good to me. He's like,
that's a nice place.
My cousin's like, yeah, you're not going there. My cousin is a disciple of Mish. He trained with Mish. He's way back from the 80s. He was doing surgeries with Mish. They're best of buddies, right? So they grew up. Turns out, Justin and I do our first implant CE course together, unbeknownst to either one of us. My cousin tells me, you're going to meet this big, heavy guy. Sure. I mean, he's this guy out of Nebraska. He don't know nothing. He's nothing like you. And he tells Justin, you're going to meet this little, short, good-looking guy, which is bogus.
He is good-looking, by the way.
And I said, and he tells us,
Jake Bateman.
He tells us all this stuff. Never met Justin in my life. He never met me in my life. And our first trip, our first CE course together, we're going to Carl Mish in Detroit. Uh-huh. We independently booked flights on a Frontier airline. How this happened, I still don't know this day. I got on the plane first. I'm sitting on this plane and I watched this big guy come down. I was like, gosh, I wonder if that's the guy Roger's talking about. Guy ends up sitting right next to me. I'm like, great. I'm going to have no room on this flipping plane. I got the big guy sitting next to me, right? Right? And, yeah. And you see Justin, he's a great guy, lovable guy. He sits down in that chair and I'm like, oh crap, I got no room. I was like, look at him. Yeah. He looks at me.
Yes.
It took about 2 seconds, right? Boom. Yes. That started that journey. That started that pathway for he and I. He and I went down just an incredible educational journey. And we talk about, you know, in our lectures, he talked about today in a great speech this morning. It was a great.
It was.
I don't even want to say the speech. It was just somebody sitting up there talking real. That was a
really?
Great.
Telling a story.
It was like a TED Talk this morning, wasn't it? Did you hear him speak this morning?
It.
Wasn't
I
it great?
That
it's just him communicating just his love, passion for, you know, his life,
that's
what
great.
He's doing. And, you know, we started that journey together.
He's still with us, by the way. He didn't pass away.
I got it. So as he's speaking through that, you know, like that's the deal. Like, we went through this together. The point of reemphasizing and he's saying this is we pushed probably one another along the path. Yeah. I mean, we're all doctors. We got a little alpha in us.
Yeah.
We got a little, you know.
That's so cool.
I'm going to up him. He's going to up me. Of course we had
that's
that. So we're pushing each other the whole way through this process. You know, and that's why whenever we speak, whenever we do any of our teaching courses, whenever we get the opportunity, find a friend. You know, find a...
Yes.
Compadre, gosh, like go through this journey together because you're going to influence and affect each other because that's been our shared experience. We both share it. We both say it. So we highly recommend that. So we start down this journey and we become junkies. Like there's not a course out there we're not willing to take. And like he says, well, I'm at this course. I'm like, well, I'm at this course. Like, oh, crap. He's at that one. I got to get to that one. Yeah. And then I'm at that one. And like,
vice versa.
And we're going back and forth because, you know, now we're comparing, you know, I don't know how else to say it. We're guys, you know.
Right. And by the way,
you're yardsticking. You're yardsticking exactly all the way through the process.
Right? I want to say this because people might not know, but if you guys actually research and Google these two, Mike Vermouth and Justin Moody, they are most credentialed with anything. That's what one of the things that first I saw their resume, and that was so fascinating to see the how these people have completed so many hours of education where I was like, I want to look up to this guy. So if Justin, you remember, I was at Affordable Denture as an associate when the first time I met Justin, I was like, who is this guy? Because you were just starting out with Affordable Dentures. And I was like, who is this guy? And he's got, and I looked at his resume and he would just keep going and going and going with these CEs that he has taken. And this is me out of school 1 year because I'm working at Affordable.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow. Like, he's not stopping. And I went to one of the courses that you were teaching in Nashville, which me and Larry, we hung out one night. And that was truly, and you talk about mentorship. And you talked about it earlier today. And without you even, you probably don't know, but I look up to you guys. And that's the thing where every single day, there are people like you guys that are making me a better dentist. And I want to be like you in
that's
20
ridiculous.
Years, looking back and giving back to the generation, next generation, because that's what you're doing with me. And that's what I want people to know, that it's just these CEs are not because of the CEs we go on meet.
It's friendships.
It's friendships that we make.
Yeah, right. It's all about the experience that you you come up with and the friendships that you meet. You know, you can call it networking or whatever you call it. But for me, you know, None of us are smarter than all of us. You know,
thanks, Norm.
Yeah, Norm Eckert in Vancouver is the author of that, and it's so true because the minute you think that you know it all, like the world just passed you by.
Yep.
You know, and if you live in an ego world and you close your mind, you know, if you close your mind to that, then you're not going to learn anything.
No.
Yeah. Well, we live in a world now where, and that's a big fear of mine, is that as online learning continues to creep into the fold a little bit, that we miss out on opportunities that are education and relationships outside of
the education. So how do you get young folks like us excited? Like, okay, so we're trying everything we can as far as getting the word out. What do you say to these young dentists getting out of school with all that debt? How are they able to go? Because that's one of the things that is stopping them from wanting to go to these courses. What is it that makes them? Because one of the things that we always see, me and Sully, is the money will come. Like that, as much as this education and investment is all, I'm looking at it as just an investment. However, it's an investment that I know it will help me to build me a better clinician. But what would you say that will get more folks come to these CEs and more hands-on type of courses, just like you guys doing here in Scottsdale and Phoenix?
Well, I think there's a number of things. You know, the first off is you have to remember that dentistry is a really small world. You know, we were our mentor. We were just talking about Roger Plooster. I showed his picture up there today. We were just on the podcast with Bruce Baird. Bruce was in his Mish class and those guys were friends. And I know we never made that connection. But you think about the people that have really excelled, and you guys are doing the same thing. Just we didn't take that much education when we were younger like you. And we didn't have the debt load that you did. I still don't think it's proportionate. Like, I think you guys still have proportionate wise are still in heavier.
It's a lot more debt, right?
A lot more debt. But
it's crazy.
But at the end of the It's crazy, but at the end of the day, it's still today. It's the cost of doing business as a dentist, and you can, I like that you guys, you embrace being a millennial dentist, and millennials take I really kind of dislike that word, you know, because, you know, it's been used so much that it doesn't categorize, you know, what your generation really is.
It really invokes kind of negativity when you first come out.
Right. And some of the older people look at that and like, listen, we don't have to work as hard as some of the past generations, and we're working smarter instead of harder. And technology has helped.
Yep.
For sure. It's easier.
It shortens the gap.
And when you talk about how can you afford to do an implant pathway? And I look at it as like, I don't really know how you can afford not to, because we waited till later on in our careers to really get into implant education. Mm-hmm. Had we done, there's two things I wish I would have done out of dental school. One, jumped straight into the CE world instead of waiting until I thought I could afford it.
Yeah, we were talking about it over there. One of the things that we would do.
And the second thing is that education, you have to remember that education you get, the younger you are, the more experience you will get, the more cases you will do over your career, and that will pay its dividends like it's
tenfold.
It's no different than do you want to contribute to your 401k day one, or do you want to wait till year five?
It's a great analogy.
Because compounding education. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's the key. You're not going to wait. Like everybody in dental school will tell you, like, hey, you know what? Go out, find a great financial planner, start contributing early because it's compound interest. Well, my recommendation is like, go find what you love. And I don't care if it's implants or not. Like,
sure.
If you love short-term ortho, you like Invisalign, you like endo, you like sleep, you know, whatever it is, like you're doing great in sleep, you know, Aaron and T-Bone as mentors, like an unbelievable thing. Figure it out and go do it.
Aaron's coming to the course.
I know. We'll see you in Seattle.
I know. Gosh. Yeah.
Hey, I want to answer your question with a question, though. Here you are 3 years out.
Four years out.
Oh, my gosh. Man, it went that fast. So answer me this.
Yes.
You started right away. Why did you start right in? How'd you afford and finance that? That's what people want to hear. How did you get out right away? Were you financially well off when you got into this?
No. I have nobody. Right now, I'm about $1 million in debt because I opened up a practice that I took out another $600,000. And I'm looking to buy a house, which is going to add. But that's another conversation. However, I don't look at money the way that... Right now, the way I look at things is that the education and the investment that I have put on, the networking and the friendship that I have built is going to make me so much more money than me trying to cut down on my CE. Like, I guess I'm always been this way about money. Even when I was working at Arby's and restaurants and as making $5.50 an hour, was like, I wouldn't care about the money. I was more about... the energy, the fun that I was having working at Arby's. For example, when I was at Arby's, I learned my English coming to America. Like that was fun for me because I was like, man, I'm communicating with people. Like I'm learning. Like every situation that I've been in, I feel like it's a learning experience. When I got out of school and I had the opportunity to meet people like you coming to CEs and learning from you guys, that was more to me than thinking about the financials, because money you can borrow. I mean, there's always ways.
So you're borrowing additional monies to afford the education. That's the avenue you've chosen.
Yes. So
nice interlude to Arby's. My daughter Betsy, who's a big fan of, like, Moody's her man, my man Moody. That's her favorite restaurant. So I'm glad we're talking about Arby's. Yes. I knew.
I love Arby's.
Come on,
but
man.
To me, ultimately, it's a paradigm shift, right?
Absolutely.
Because what we're saying is that we realize that the return on me educating myself now and the cost that it's going to cost me is going to pay off more later, and so. It's been my experience that it completely has. And what happens is what I see every day all the time is that we are you know, saving pennies, right? Like it's like, how can I save $30 on a crown, like on a lab bill, versus just like trying to be better about doing it in a certain way? Or, you know, you look at implant companies, for example.
Yeah.
It's like a race to the bottom on implant companies where it's like we want to get a cheaper implant company when maybe we should just value what we do and charge more to use the implant we want to use instead of ordering some crappy implant from China. Like, has it gotten to that point that we're so worried about $100 that we're not willing to like save the money there? And so that's my whole thing is like,
ask yourself that question. Or is that the position you're in today?
And why? Because we've taken the opportunity to run with educational things that afford us the ability to do that, right?
Right.
It's
empowering us for us to be able to be more.
It's a shift in the mindset,
yeah,
right? It's understanding that like debt is leverage.
Well, you guys are
this
millennial voice right now. People are going to listen to this and they're going to say, "Hey, that is another avenue for me to get out there and do this."
Because
I get asked at every course, "Hey, how do I get out there and do this?" Like, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. I mean, if we really want something in our life, it's been my experience. If I've wanted something, I've made it happen. That's been pretty typical for me.
Sure.
Most people that I talk to, whoever it is, like they found a way to make something happen.
I mean, let's take your course, for example.
Sure.
Hopefully I can share this. I'm going to share.
You can share anything you want about the
course. So your course, if you're a new graduate, from what I just gathered, it costs $13,000 to take your course. Okay, all your segments.
I think if you take all four modalities, I think you're closer to, new student, yeah, $13,000. $16,995, new student discount.
It's $13,000 if you're a new student. Okay,
correct.
So let's take a new graduate, someone that's in 3 years, who's interested in placing implants.
Correct.
$13,000. You're telling me, and let's say that we're going to charge... let's think of this really easy math. We're going to charge $1,200 an implant out of the gate because we want to place some. My implant's going to cost me $200, so I have $1,000 profit. Netting, we're not going to do all the other overhead and stuff, but just kind of from a straight cost standpoint.
Yeah. Okay, that's just placement of the screw. There's a prosthetic component to that as well.
Right. So we're just doing that. That means you're telling me that after placing your course, you can't place 13 implants okay, in a reasonable amount of time to get you into the positive, knowing that, like you said, that you should have a pretty relatively easy prosthetic part to that that's going to make you more money at a standpoint. Like, that should be the easy math right there.
It's easy.
It really is easy. And what I'm sick and tired of hearing is like, well, because this is a common one, right? I'm an associate and my senior dentist won't pay for the education.
Right.
And if I do it, then I'm getting paid 30% of production. They're making money off me. Who gives a crap? Like, that's going to be your excuse for not going, because right now you're telling me you're struggling to pay down things. You're struggling to produce, yet they don't place implants, yet you're not willing to go invest in yourself to learn how to do something they don't do.
Okay. I have a couple answers to this question.
I get pretty excited about that.
One of the answers to that question is, are you going to be associate forever for that doctor that you're actually presently working for? No. Right? So these skill sets are going to be with you the rest of your life. And once that information is learned, I mean, that's money in the bank. Like, that's in the brain.
It's getting better.
It's there. So, you know, you can do math and all that. Like you will recapture those dollars within the first month of practice. I know when we went through the Mission Institute, like in, you know, the early 2000s, I mean, the average person that went through that course, they said that less than 10% of the doctors that attended the course would actually ever go back and place the implants.
Wow.
Our whole mantra is getting everyone to place the implant when they get back to their office.
Monday morning, they're putting the implants.
That is the whole point of why we're educating this. And I started the profession, how we started this conversation, why I got into this is like it was a restorative thing. And I realized the limitations. Of pontic spans and all of that. I had to have implants as a treatment modality for the patients. This started for me not as a financial agenda, but a healthcare agenda.
Yeah.
John Coyce talks about this extensively. My healthcare agenda and what I was trying to take care of for patients had to involve implant dentistry. I couldn't do the dentistry I want to do without doing implants. You know, so it progressed for me in that fashion. So, you know, that $13,000, yeah, that's a big nut when you look at the number. And, you know, we have lots of financing options through the pathway. I mean, we have a great team of people that's going to help people get that affordable and get through that. Yeah.
But what we're trying to say is that the money that they're looking at, that is nothing.
It's
one case. I mean, right. Just
and the people that get that will be the people that are insanely successful. And the people that don't will always continue to struggle, I think, because they'll fight that and fight that and fight that.
And they'll keep buying the cheap implants and keep placing them and thinking, saving money.
There's a couple things. After one of the last live surgery courses, Mike and I, we actually split and went to each coast. He went to New York. I went out to Seattle to mentor some doctors that had gone through it. And I went out to Seattle to Dr. Arthur's office, and she had lined up all these implant cases and came out, and I sat over her shoulder and we did the deal. I mean, I don't have a license, so I didn't, you know, do anything. But, you know, it's like a little bit of the comfort in having your mentor there.
Yeah, sure. Huge.
They're good walking through there. I think she did 13 implants while I was there.
Wow.
She had enough revenue for that day to pay me to come out and to pay for the course that she just went through in one day. He had a similar experience in New York
with Kunal Cigar, Cloud Lake Dentistry in New York. It's there. Like it's just a matter, is this something you want to do?
If you really want it,
career?
Money is not a problem.
It's like a flight. Like early on, like you know, every nowadays people, you know, they just get on a plane, they go. But I know lots of doctors say, I gotta leave my office, I gotta do this thing. Like it's a 2-hour flight. Like there's always barriers that I find most people will put up. They're finding, you know, reasons why they can't do something. I started this conversation by saying, if we really want something to happen, guess what? We make it happen. So it's so understanding that dynamic.
What about young dental students right now listening to us? What do they need to get good at while they're in dental school that when they get out?
They need to get their license. They need to get board certified. So when they get out, they can get on that. My nephew right now is currently number one in his class, CU Dental School.
Nice.
He's going to be an associate come June once he gets his licensure in the practice. I have another nephew who just got enrolled in dental school. I told them, learn what you can. When you get out of school, you're going to learn what you need to do in private practice. I needed that degree, and I needed that to get my license to practice this.
But I think there's something, you know, that you can take away in dental school too. Like you can either be a student that does the bare minimum to get by, mm-hmm. or you can spend your extra days down in perio or oral surgery and work harder to get those cases. Like, you know, if you hang around some of those departments long enough, eventually a resident or somebody is going to say,
it's grave information.
Do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, let's do one of these cases, or I'll mentor you. Like inspire, you know, let someone inspire you, you know, and put them in a position to do that because he's right. You know, there's not a lot of opportunity and not all schools give you those same thing, but you know, We all had classmates in dental school that either, you know, they had the mantra, you know, C's equal D, DS's, you know, and things like that. But, like, is that really what you want to do?
Yeah.
Like, I finished all my requirements. Not a brag thing. I finished all my requirements to graduate by Halloween of my senior year, October. Right. So
same.
I could have.
Is that weird?
Yeah, I could have.
And we were probably not far behind you.
I could have done nothing.
I did too, actually. Me too. I could have done nothing earlier.
But what I did was I spent my dental career trying to be an OMS, and the OMS department said, hey, you know what? We'll get you out of all your like other clinical requirements that don't matter if you just want to come over and start. And I was like, yeah. So November came around. I went to University Hospital and I shucked thirds and learned sedation and did all this stuff for, you know, basically 7 months before I graduated. And when I graduated, I did realize that I didn't want to be the OMS because I wanted to go, at the time I wanted to go back to my hometown, but those residents taught me how to take teeth out. They taught me how to alveoloplasty. They taught me things that I would not have got otherwise.
Right.
And I could have stayed drunk for 7 months.
Well, and I find that it's like,
you might have.
Well, I might have done that. You know, I might have done that too.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.